Apparently, the Lord wants the blood of Christ, Jesus paying it all, to be the emphasis of the morning as far as messages and song. We view music here at Bible Baptist Church as not part of the preliminaries. There's nothing preliminary about it. It's primary, not preliminary. If a song doesn't have a message, keep it out of here. If it doesn't exalt the Lord, we don't want it. Not just the songs you hear from the pulpit, but the songs that you sing. All part of the service should be Godward. That's what we want. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. Not sure how far I'm going to be able to get in this message this morning. I might have to keep you till, well, I won't do that. So don't worry about it. On Wednesday evenings, we've been in a great study together. For those of you that have been able to come to that, we've been studying angels. And we've noticed that 34 of the 66 books of the Bible mention angels. Angels are mentioned some 300 times in the Scripture. The Bible doesn't tell us how many angels there are, but if you take some information from the Scripture, you can come to the conclusion that there may be hundreds of millions or billions. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 speaks of an innumerable company of angels. Very interesting. Angels are not physical. They are invisible. They are spiritual. They can take on human form. Most of the time in the Scripture, they appear as people. They are created beings. That is, they're not self-existent. They're not eternal. There was a time when angels did not exist, and then they began to exist because God Himself created them. Because they are direct creations of God, unlike us, we were procreated. Adam and Eve were direct creations of God, but the rest of us have been procreated. Angels were not procreated because they were individually and specifically created by God. That may be the reason why sometimes in the Scripture the Bible calls them sons of God. Angels have no offspring. There's not mama angel and daddy angel and the baby angels. No. And they're not, by the way, they're not departed spirits. I know that you hear this sometimes, particularly at funerals and things like mama's. She's now an angel in heaven. Listen, my mama is in Arizona, and when she dies, she's not going to become an angel. She's going to join the group that is called the spirits of just men made perfect. That's what she's going to be in, and that's what I'm going to be in. Nobody's going to become angels after they die. And so these angels are created beings. They are highly intelligent, but they're not omniscient. They don't know all things. Only God knows all things. They have emotions. They have a will. They're not robots. They worship God. They know God, not in the same sense that we do, because they know nothing about redemption. So when we sing songs about redemption, they just have to back up and say, I don't quite get that one. But they're powerful. They're supernatural, much more powerful than human beings, but they're not omnipotent. They're not all powerful. They are created beings. And sometimes, always the good angels function on behalf of humanity. The bad angels function against humanity. And so a lot about angels in the Scriptures. Now, what I want to do this morning as sort of an adjunct to what we're doing on Wednesday night is to talk to you about the ministry of angels when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, some cultists and unbelievers have taken that verse to mean that Jesus was created. That's not what it's talking about. When it speaks of being made, it's speaking of being positioned in a certain place. He made captain this year. He made sergeant this year. He made this particular position or rank. It's not talking about when Jesus came into existence, because Jesus is God Almighty. He's the one who brought the angels into existence. He spoke them into existence. And that's why, by the way, look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Chapter 1 and verse 4, it says he was made so much better than angels. Why? What does that mean? That means that the man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was also God, but the man was placed above angels again when he ascended back into heaven. He was made above the angels. And what does it say in verse 6 of chapter 1? What does it say? Again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. There's a huge, huge difference between our Lord Jesus and angels. No comparison whatsoever. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, the great I Am of the Old Testament, Jehovah Yahweh. He is the eternally existent one. Angels are not self-existent. There was a time when they did not exist. Now they do. They don't procreate. There are just as many angels now in the universe as there were when God created them. They don't get married and have babies and all that stuff. They just don't do it. But what I want to do this morning, in the context of thinking of the greatness and the mightiness of angels and their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to see what ministry angels had with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, before God the Son became incarnate, that is, before he took on human flesh, angels worshiped him as God Almighty. They knew that he is their creator. And they would say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I want you to think about it from the angels' point of view in heaven when they find out what God's going to do. Remember, angels don't know everything. But God lets them find things out as they happen. And in heaven, they find out because an angel is sent down to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, we don't need to turn to it because we won't have time to go to all. But an angel is sent down to Mary, Gabriel. It says, in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. The angel came in unto her and said, "You're a special lady. God has chosen you to give birth to the Son of God," that is, to his physical human existence. "God has chosen you." Imagine what the angels, what? You know, God has announced that this eternal God, God the Son, is going to start his descent into time and space, and this eternal God is going to take on himself matter. He's going to have physical properties that he never had before. He is going to begin to exist in his human form as a fertilized seed. And that seed will grow and grow and mature in the human womb. And that baby that began as a fertilized seed will be born. And so what does God do? You know, God sends an angel and tells Mary about this, and then, boy, I tell you what, Joseph's in trouble. And so what does God do? God sends an angel to Joseph also, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he thought she'd been immoral. He just didn't know. He couldn't understand it. "Because your life was so godly, how can you turn out pregnant and not have had a physical relationship? It can't happen." But it says, while he thought on those things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. So think of it from the viewpoint of angels. God announces that he's going to become a man. And then to the woman, to Mary, and then to Mary's husband-to-be, God announces it. And then, after the nine-month gestation period, Jesus is born. And it tells us in Luke chapter 2, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And it says, "Lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And what did the angel say? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Think of it from the angel's point of view. The God that created them is now born as a human being. And he's a baby and he needs to be taken care of. Imagine the thoughts of angels when it comes to this. Put yourself in their shoes or whatever they have. I don't know what they have. Put yourself in their position. Think about that. Announcing his birth. And then a year or two later, Herod decides that he wants to kill babies that are born 2 years and under because he's heard that a king has been born and he wants to make sure that that doesn't cause him political difficulties. And so the Bible says that Mary and Joseph are warned, Matthew chapter 2. The angels came down, saw the young child with Mary. That is, the wise men came first. By the way, the wise men came to the house, not to the manger. Sorry to mess up your Christmas story, but they came to the house, and he was about maybe 2 years old. And they worship, they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and all that. And then when the wise men leave, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, Joseph, get down to Egypt. Herod's after you. He wants to kill the little boy Jesus. And so the angel, again, imagine the angels. Think about this with the angels' point of view. Here they are being called upon now to protect the one that created them. How can that be? How can that be? And so Mary and Joseph and Jesus go down to Egypt until Herod is dead. And then what happens? An angel comes to Joseph and says, okay, you can come back now from Egypt. Can anything good come out of Egypt? Yeah, sure can. Sure can. You bet it can. And then think about our Lord Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, some 28 or so years later, after this time. He is out in the wilderness being tempted. And the Bible says that after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, because he'd fasted. And the tempter came to him and he said, if you're the Son of God, you know, command these stones to be made bread and so on. Cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple. Fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus is being sorely tempted by Satan. And he answers, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then what is God the Father do at this, after this time of sore temptation? The Bible says in verse 11 of that chapter, the devil left him, and behold, angels came to minister unto him. Isn't that interesting? Angels whom he had created now come because he is needy as a human being. Oh, I tell you what, if angels had wooden heads, they'd have splinters in their fingers, scratching it, trying to figure out what in the world. But don't go around here and say angels have wooden heads. Please don't do that. Baptists aren't cults, and angels don't have wooden heads, okay? I know some people that might, I think, have wooden heads, but we won't get into that. Think of the Lord Jesus the night before he was crucified. There he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he is praying to the Father and he's saying, oh, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is the holy, sinless Son of God shrinking from the idea and the reality that upon him is going to be placed your sins and mine, and the sins and the iniquities and the foul rebellion and wickedness of the world. And it's going to be all placed on him, and then he will there be punished for that. Physical punishment is only part of what took place on the cross. It was the spiritual punishment as well. The bloody death of Christ cleanses us from sin. And the Bible says, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Here is our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is sweating drops of blood, and God sends another angel to minister to him, to strengthen him. Think about that. Think about that. And then think about after the resurrection. Who's there? You go to the tomb. Who is there? There's an angel of the Lord descends from heaven. He comes and rolls the stone away. Not so that Jesus can get out. Jesus is already out. The angel, just as he announced the birth of Jesus, is now announcing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus, God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, has been raised from the dead bodily. And then when Jesus, 40, 50 days later, ascends back into heaven, Acts chapter 1, they watch him go back. And while they're watching, while the people are watching it happen, two men stand by them in white apparel. And they say, "Why do you stand up gazing? This same Jesus who has left you, he's going to come again in like manner." Again, angels announcing the coming again of the Lord Jesus in our future. The Bible says that angels will accompany the Lord Jesus when he comes to rule and reign and judge on this earth. 2 Thessalonians 1, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the ministry of angels all the way through his life, from the time of his conception until the time of his ascension. Ministry, making announcements, strengthening, encouraging all the way. Hard to understand, isn't it? What a mystery that is. But it's interesting, and this is why I'm so thankful for the messages in song today. When Jesus hung on the cross, no angels. He hangs alone. Not only is our Lord Jesus stripped, hanging naked on the cross, receiving the jeers and criticisms of men, but he is stripped of his heavenly companions. Alone he hangs. Alone he suffers. No angel to strengthen him. God sends no angel. And Jesus cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Folks, I want to take a quick aside and then come back to that. The only time I like to hear, my God, is when it comes from the lips of Jesus. In our culture today, that has become an expression of exclamation. It ought not to be on our lips as believers. It ought not to be there. We're taking something that is sacred, the pivotal point in all eternity when Jesus is hanging on the cross. Alone, and he talks to the Father and the Spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" No angelic help there. None. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he loves you. Because he didn't want you to die and go to hell. That's why. That's why he did that. And now in heaven, as the angels of God worship him, falling prostrate in his presence, he receives worship for who he is and what he's done. But you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, we have more to praise him for than the angels do. They praise him for his greatness, for his wisdom, for his power, for his majesty. We praise him for his redemption, for our redemption, for his redemptive work upon the cross. Dear Christian, does your life at all reflect the reality that Jesus died for you? Does it make a difference at all? or are you just sort of clip-clopping through life? Yeah, we go to church. Yeah, we do this. Yeah, we do that. Try not to do some real bad stuff, but, you know, I can mess around over here a little bit. Oh, my. Oh, my. What we need as believers is to see our relationship to God Almighty, our relationship to angels, not be focused on the angels any more than what the Bible focuses on them, but to be focused on the Lord Jesus, looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, even the death of the cross. Dear Christian, does it mean anything at all to you? Have you sacrificed it all for Him? Have you expended your energy or your time in any way, shape, or form for this Lord God Almighty who became physical matter, who was incarnate, became flesh, tabernacled among us, dwelt among us, lived in a body subject to pain and suffering and sorrow, hurt, weariness? God Almighty did that. Oh, we need to see Jesus made a little lower than the angels to do all that He did for us, now exalted again at the right hand of the Father. He is my righteousness. By the way, if you think you're going to get to heaven by being a good Baptist, you're in bad shape, brother, let me tell you. You don't get to heaven by being a good anything. You get to heaven when you confess to God that you're nothing and that you have nothing to offer God. And when you put your trust in the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world, who suffered and died and rose again for you. If you're not a Christian, you need to come to this God Almighty. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And you need to come in His presence and say, oh, I am a sinner and I am lost and I deserve hell. Please save me. He promises He will. For as He was dying on the cross, He gave even a promise to a filthy man who repented of his sin. A common criminal, one of the worst sort, one who had gotten the death penalty. And Jesus Himself is hanging there on the cross in the death chamber, and all of God's angels run from that. They cannot imagine it. And there He suffers for you and for me and for the man on either side. One rejected, one accepted. What are you going to do? Let's pray. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? I hope that you do. If you don't, I hope that you're really scared, because you're going to meet that great God someday, and it's not going to be a pleasant meeting. But oh my, my, you can meet that great God today by faith, confessing your sin, putting your trust in Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your great, great goodness. Help us to understand the big things of God. Help us to be impressed with the big truths, not just little stuff in this world, like money and tractors and motorcycles and whatever it is. God, help us to be impressed with the big things. May we have spiritual minds that are growing in grace. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that has not submitted to the righteousness of Christ, that You will bother them, convict them, and draw them to Yourself. May they shake in Your presence until they come to Jesus. And for any here, Lord, who are walking afar off, oh God, please help us to be infected with the truths of Scripture, that through our veins might flow godliness, loyalty, faithfulness, gentleness, boldness, all of the traits and fruits of the Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard to imagine what the angels were thinking when Jesus hung on the cross, isn't it? Wow. We're going to sing hymn number 141. It ought to be difficult for us to think about that as well. He who is God Almighty, suffering for us, just as the angels, He who created them directly, whom they worshiped, now hangs on a cross. Unbelievable, unexplainable, and yet true. And so we who are Christians need to have the heart of the man who wrote this hymn, who was also amazed. Alas. Alas means, wow, oh my, what in the world? That's what it means. Did my Savior bleed? Did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? That's the spirit of this hymn. Let's sing it to God this morning. When Jesus hung on the cross, the sky got dark from 12 to 3 in the afternoon. Heaven pulls the shade on what's taking place at this execution. God's not going to let man gape on that sacred, sacred hours. That's what it's talking about there. Wow. If you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, or you're not sure, please, don't leave without making sure today. We want to help you. Please say something to one of us. Please don't wait. That's your invitation. Now we're going to sing this last verse, and this last verse will be our closing prayer, because what is it? There's nothing I could do to ever repay the Lord. Only thing I can do, and that won't repay Him, is just to give myself to Him. That's what this is about. Let's sing it to God.